luistert naar 100.5 FM.
We know GPV, it's there and it has been there. It's us as individual who are going to end it. Mm. To anyone who's listening, it starts with you. Please speak out. We are here to help you.
Survival Mode 101 is in samenwerking met GRIP, die Greater Rape Intervention Program in die Laagveld. Die gesprek is met Johanne Strydom en Terren Lokotsch, die hoofuitvoerende bestuurder van GRIP.
Welkom terug by Survival Mode 101. In vandagse episode gesels ons met Surprise Kaninda en wat sy rol by GRIP alles behels. The man who truly needs no introduction. Welcome, Surprise. And Taryn, welcome back.
Yo, thanks, everybody. Hello, everybody.
Hi, everybody. I'm Surprise Kaninda.
And he's not surprised to be here.
Actually, I am. This is my first time being here. Definitely, I am.
Welcome, Surprise. And it's so fun to have you here today. And Taryn, thank you for coming back and guiding us.
Yeah, no. Always a pleasure to be here.
The pillar of wisdom.
Oi.
So, Surprise, let's just start off and saying, like I said, you don't need any introduction because I think you can do it very well on your own. Who is Surprise?
Oh, I'm Surprise Kaninda, originally from Gapogwini, working for GRIP as a PPPREF supervisor. I'm based in Chief Albert Luthuli and in Mkhondo. I'm a bubbly person. I'm a career-focused young gentleman who is very much dedicated to every task, or rather say given task that has been given to me to make sure that I complete in time. So I'm definitely making sure that my work gets complete in time.
Your work and everyone else's work.
And everybody, not really everybody else's. Work, but mine mostly, unless there's another task that belongs to somebody else that I've been asked to complete.
And then you said now you are the supervisor of the PPPREF program. What is PPPREF?
Okay, so PPPREF stands for, it's another one of those acronyms. So PPPREF stands for, so it's Priority Population Preventative Programs. So Surprise basically heads up a team that runs preventative programs in the community.
And what do you say about that?
It's definitely true. So the aim of this program is to make sure that we go to the communities to make sure that we give the people in communities constructive information, help, because we definitely understand very well that with us penetrating to those communities, other people are not able to reach to the competent side, rather say facilities to access those services. So the aim is to bring change into every community where we are based.
Enterprise, how did you come to GRIP? When did you start at GRIP? How did you start at GRIP? I know Taryn said you were very eager, if we should say it in that, but eager in a good way.
Honey, if I'm talking about GRIP, GRIP is my life. GRIP is life to me. I'm sure I'd be talking about GRIP the whole day. This is how I get to GRIP. I was working for another NGO, so I happened to like their Facebook page. And when liking their Facebook page, I'm one person who loves information, but it has to be constructive, not just any information that's not going to benefit me. And I happened to spend more time on this organization, GRIP, which was my first time knowing or hearing about GRIP at the time. And I started doing my research as to what's GRIP, what is GRIP doing, what is GRIP doing for people, because my passion is to help people. So I happened to come to GRIP where I found this other lady, Trudy, and I asked, do you guys take CVs? Because I'm one person who's outspoken. And she was like, no, we don't have any vacancies available at the moment. And every time when I come to town, I definitely pass by GRIP. So I was one person that they know me even when I'm knocking at the door. And one other day, they asked me to send through my CV and I was called for an interview. Officially, it was my CEO, Taryn, the lovely lady, and as well as Trudy. So I went there for an interview. I made sure that I need to make sure I've got lots of information about GRIP so that they should be blown away. And definitely that happened. And that's how I came to GRIP.
Well, that's a very nice story.
Definitely a very nice one.
And then, so you have, you don't only run one program under your portfolio as supervisor of the PPPREF. You are in charge of a few programs and let's discuss those.
Okay.
If you could name them and just give us a little like information about what that program is, who it is for, and who are you targeting, and what's your goal with that program?
Okay.
I've got 4 programs that I'm currently running, and please bear in mind these programs are all for everybody. We are here to help everyone. We want to bring change into every person's life. So the first one is a No Means No program. It's for girls and boys. The target age group that we're currently working on, it's 15 to 24. So what do we do in that program? We're teaching young girls, AGYW, the defensive skills that if they are being attacked, because we know they are the most vulnerable ones to be attacked, how should they respond to the attacker? Of which is, those are the information I'm not going to say much about. And then second, we've got a financial literacy. This is now when we're teaching our AGYW and everyone in the program, rather say, about saving, about budgeting, because we understand and we care much about them. So they start saving from the little that they have, and because we definitely know that there's something that they are having.
If we can quickly just go back to the No Means No program. So you've said, but you also mentioned to me you do them separately.
Yes.
You do the boys No Means No separately, yes, where you focus more actually on doing this and this is wrong, and you take the girls separately, and there you teach them the self-defense.
Exactly.
But you also said one very important thing that I just want our listeners to know is the consent.
Yes.
And that's the thing you teach girls. Mm. You did it so very well. So could you just again tell me, how do you say no?
Okay, so with the No Means No program, it's a very productive program, of which is so helpful for every girl out there. Mm. So this is the process whereby now we're teaching our young girls and women that if they are being attacked, sometimes if you are being attacked, your no must be well vocal and strong. Mm. You can't just say, no, don't touch me. But your no must be like, no, stop it. You understand? You must be well vocal.
You did very well, exactly. Surprise.
Thank you so
I'm even scared of you now. Yes, it's like you said, I just want to get that across to the listener. Your no should be very much a no. Mm. It should not be, like you said, no.
Giggling.
No, it should be hell no. I actually wanted to add a swear word, but it's a family channel, so I'd rather not. So then let's move on. You said the financial literacy. I also said I think this is the one I should be attending because financially I'm not the best.
So we've got a financial literacy off, which is a very, very, very much interesting one, because that's where we're teaching everybody who's in our session ways to save. We're teaching them how to budget, when to budget, how do you start your budget, because we understand very well that the young ones and the older ones are the ones that are really mostly having money. If you've got 10 rand, you must just basically know how to budget with your 10 rand. Yeah. How much can you save? You understand? We've got ways of saving. We're teaching them ways of saving, of which is we've got a formal saving. We've got as well as an informal saving. So now the formal saving is the savings whereby you start saving using banks. You've got contracts with the bank. There's a paper on to say you only be able to access your money on this day. Mm. So then we've got now informal saving, of which is that one has got its own disadvantages, of which is piggy bank, under the mattress, stock fail.
And that one goes quick.
Exactly. With informal saving, it doesn't even accumulate interest. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're teaching them, because it's very much important and crucial for a person to save. So then you get the benefits of which is the interest.
And how's your savings looking these days?
Surprise!
Are you taking a note out of your own book? What should we say? Not a note out of your own book, but are you taking some tips from the classes?
Really, I'm honest speaking, I'm going to be honest with you. From the first place, it was not really looking good. But with me attending the training of financial literacy, it's really looking very, very good. I'm able to also spread the constructive information to my mates whereby I see that they are struggling. So
And also, just to give our listeners a better point of view, if I could say it in that terms, you have a whole manual, because you showed it to me. It's like a constructed manual that you teach me from. I think it's so helpful. It's something I Really, I know, we're laughing now. And I think if my husband listens to today's episode, he's going to be like, yo, Nike, jy moet vir daai ene gaan. He's going to be definitely go educate you.
That's the thing about the programs that we're running. They have all been, you know, researched and educated very well. They've been tested. They're tested programs. So it's not like we're going into the community as GRIP and we're just doing our own kind of, oh, here's financial literacy. You know, these are programs that have been tested. They've been run before and they are approved programs.
Yeah.
So, we know what we're doing, and the program itself is really helpful.
People standing there and saying things that they've picked up during their life or whatever. It's a program.
Yeah, it's a program.
Another program you have is the SRH. So yes. I always like to tell our listener what SRH or acronyms we use stands for.
Okay. SRH stands for Sexual Reproductive Health. This is one program as well that I love very well because we know that the target group that we're currently working on are people that they need to have more information. So SRH, it's a program whereby we're talking about sexuals. We're checking their level of understanding. We're checking if they know the HIV data, that's where it fits in. We invite other stakeholders that we are working with, of which is mentioned only one, but we've got quite a few, of which is vets, RHI, whereby they would do the HCS, because those are the things that we don't do. But in short, it's a program that is talking more about sexual activities, because we know at that age we are very much sexually active. We're checking the level of understanding. Why do you guys not use a condom? Do you know the impacts of not using condom? What ways can you prevent HIV? Because we must make sure that we pose questions from what they are giving us, so then at the end of the day we make sure that they've got information.
And how do you get the participants?
This is how we get our participants. We're doing door-to-door campaign, our awareness rather say. That is where we're getting our participants. We are also working very closely with chiefs. If it's a rural area, or with the white councillors, they are really helpful. Honestly speaking, they hay for us. They do the loud hailing for us. We are getting participants as well as voice of mouth. If we definitely know that we are giving legendary experience. So with the voice of mouth, you know, one beneficiary will tell the other beneficiary, definitely they would be interested to come and attend our sessions.
Mm-hmm. And you normally meet at safe places.
Yes.
Said like a church or the community hall.
Our drive is to make sure everybody is safe. So we're making sure that we don't just meet anyway, but we are actually meeting in safe spaces. Safe spaces that we know that community people would feel safe in. It's not taverns, no. But it has to be churches. We know people are safe in churches. It has to be community halls. The ward councillors are also helping us in arranging and making sure that the hall is available for us. Mm. So basically, those are the safe spaces that we are currently working on.
And it's also nice because you get the whole community to work together. Yeah. It's like you said, it's easier because then the whole community gets
definitely
involved.
And yes. I think it's important to highlight, like what you're saying, you know, it's the sexual and reproductive health where we teach them about the sexual and reproductive health, but then we allow them to give access to other services. So you mentioned HTS. Mm. So that's HIV testing services for anyone that doesn't know. And then as well as PrEP. So we can do referrals to PrEP. So that program really gives them access to, you know, other services that GRIP may not necessarily offer, but one of our dreams partners can offer. And further to that, in addition to the safe space, surprise, you also provide them with a really nice lunch.
Definitely, yes.
So they also get a meal. Yeah.
Is that included with the literacy one, the financial literacy too? Because I'm definitely coming then.
In all of them.
In all of them, they get a meal as well. So yeah, so it's education, but it's also nutrition as well that we want to make sure that everyone's taken care of.
And like you said, your main goal with the sexual reproductive health program is to check the level of understanding.
Exactly. Yeah.
And to see what they understand, and if they don't, to explain it to them. It's also like we spoke about the contraceptives.
Yes.
And we said a very important thing is people should realize that you can get contraceptives for free.
Yes.
You don't have to go buy them or put them on your medical aid. You can get them for free from any government clinics and hospitals. And then you also have a new program. We don't want to say too much about it because it's still in the making. Mm-hmm. But just if we could get a little teensy-weensy a bit of it.
We've got actually very much interesting programs. This is Sasa, my baby. I love this program. This program is meant for the influential people in the communities. People like nurses, professional nurses. People like pastors. People like white councillors and the chiefs. Because why did we decide to include them? It's because it is very much easy for us to penetrate through their communities with them knowing exactly what we're doing. So it has to start with them, then it goes to the beneficiaries. I really believe that it becomes very easy when a white councillor is hailing, asking his people to come to a community hall at this time, than an unknown people in the community who's going to be hailing. People are definitely not going to come. So if the white councillors are actually aware of the programs that we are running, it becomes very easy for us to get all those beneficiaries and to make sure that we give them the very good services that we are there to give. But to add as well with pastors at the local churches, because we're using their churches as our safe space, they definitely need to know as to when we're asking for a certain change, why are we asking, which are programs are we conducting them, why are we conducting those programs, how do those programs benefit the youth people in the communities.
Yes.
So definitely I love Sasa, and really I want to tell you it's going to be a humdinger. We were going far with this.
But I think once it's up and running, you will be back to tell us more.
I'll be more than welcome to do that.
Listen, surprise, it's clear, you know, I think any listener can hear that you are a very motivated person. You're very happy, excited, you know. I think if I was a teenager and you were my counsellor, I would be thriving.
He's definitely got the right personality.
Yes. Yeah. So I don't think you need a lot of motivation to get up in the mornings, but those difficult mornings, what keeps you going, seeing the bad things happening to our children and to our mothers and to, you know, to the woman out there, what keeps you motivated to continue what you do and not give up?
Really, really, each and every day there's something that you definitely feel drained, that you'll see and make sure it drains you emotionally, it drains you mentally. But I don't focus in that, because my focus is to help people. It's to bring change. So I don't allow whatever situation that comes my way to block me, but instead it is my responsibility to make sure that I crush it off so then somebody else can get help. I love group in such a way. We've got social workers where if I feel that I'm so very much emotional drained, I would speak to my social worker and I'll just cough out, and definitely by so doing that I would still come back stronger than before, and I definitely know that I've been seeing this challenge before, I've passed this challenge before, why not now? But however, the aim is to bring change. The aim is to make that a little girl or women out there lives very easy, and to make sure that when we talk about GRIP, we're talking about people that are reliable. You can rely on them. You know as well that if I access their service or if I speak to one of them, definitely my things will fall to place. I encourage people that we know GPV, it's there and it has been there. It's us as individual who are going to end it. To anyone who's listening, it starts with you. Please speak out. We are here to help you. We're not here to judge you, but we're here to give you support. We're here to give you love. We're here to make sure that whatever situation you passed or you are currently facing, it just goes away. So then you'd also be able to help other people.
And then, surprise, tell me, what was your worst day at GRIP? I always do these questions. That's always I always want to hear. But your worst day at GRIP?
Honestly speaking, I never had experienced one, except that there's a point whereby I was not feeling well, and I'm one person who loves to be at my respective workplace at all the time, mm-hmm. because I know with me being there, we are bringing difference. Mm. So that's exactly my worst day, whereby I had to be booked off sick, like now.
Listen,
that happens to everyone.
That's a wonderful testimony of your workplace.
We all human.
But other than that, I haven't experienced one, not even once.
And your best day?
Oh,
every day.
Every day is my best day. But I just go more deeper. I'm one person who usually, I never celebrated my birthday. I've never received birthday gifts. But last year, on the 29th of November, it was my birthday. And I happened to be called into CEO's office in the morning, man. I was like, what did I do? Did I do something wrong?
Why am I trouble?
I mean, like, my colleagues said, no, we don't know why you are.
And they're playing along.
They're playing along. And
my office is not even scary. Come on.
But I got there, and it's not even scary, but you know that you'd speak with your CEO anyway in the passage anyway. But if you are being called into her office,
you know, it's trouble
as to what's happening. When I got there, I found a beautiful cake for me. There was a birthday gift for me, and I was so very much emotionally excited, because I never had to experience that before. As well as this afternoon, sharing drinks with her, ketchuping. You know, she's the heart of Grip. I mean, like, it was so nice. And I happen to experience that. I know most of us are experiencing that,
yes.
But I'm also experiencing it, which is, I'm really grateful for it.
No shame. Thank you.
Wonderful surprise. And I always ask, if there's one thing the listeners should take from today, if there's one thing that you can get across to them, what would that be?
It would be, it starts with you. If it starts with you, it would help other people, because if you are experiencing something such as gender-based violence, speak out, stand up, stand firm and tall. Then other people from the communities would see, and they would also get help. Mm. Because we definitely know that there are those women that are being beaten every day and they don't speak out. So I want to urge everybody to say, it starts with you. Please speak out. With you speaking out, you definitely healing the community. With you speaking out, you are actually helping somebody else there. You are touching hearts that you don't even know.
Mm. You know, your story might save someone else.
And exactly. Your story would definitely save somebody else.
I'm surprised. This has been a very nice
energetic.
Yes, I feel pumped for today.
Excited to be here. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time. And Taryn, thank you as always for coming with.
No,
surprise. We definitely will see you very soon with your SASA project. I really hope everything goes well, and I'm sure it will.
Definitely.
And you'll be back here very soon. I'm sure the listeners will be so excited to hear from you again. En volgende week se episode gesels ons bietjie oor tydryp. So as jy iemand is wat op matriekvakansie gaan gaan, eerste jaar gaan wees, dink ek hierdie sal 'n baie goeie episode wees vir jou om na te luister. Thank you. Thank you guys. It was a wonderful
thank
episode.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Entusiastisch en oprecht 100.5.